Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. We're so thankful this morning to be in the house of God, to be here with the people of God, to worship God in the beauty of holiness, just thanking him for his goodness and all that he has given to us, how he loadeth us with benefits every single day. We're so glad to have our visitors, one that we saw, I believe, yesterday at the pantry. We're so glad to have you here. We welcome you, and just know that we are glad that you're here. We're persuaded that God led you to be here, and so we thank God for that. Amen. Realizing that today is the fifth Sunday. This is an ordinance for ordinance services today, and we thank God for the privilege of obeying his word and following him in baptism and feet washing in the Lord's Supper, and knowing that it is an honor, a privilege and an honor to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his ways and in all the examples that he set for us. So we'll look to the Lord in prayer before we begin our service. We're thankful for Minister Scott from Xenia Church of God being here, and we just thank God. And we also remember our candidate for baptism much in prayer. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, dear God, Lord, for all that you have done for us, dear God. And Lord, we're just so thankful for your dear son, Jesus. Lord, realizing, dear God, that when the song poet penned, "What a friend we have in Jesus," Lord, the truth of those words, dear God, just stands out. For we realize that through the sacrifice of your dear son, Jesus, Lord, we're able, dear God, to have a right to the tree of life. And Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for all that you have done. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and have your way in this service. We pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit, dear God, would direct in all things that are said and done today. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all who are present, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that each of us, Lord, would receive a blessing, dear God. Lord, through prayer and through praise of your holy name and through the preaching of your eternal word, dear God, we pray, dear Father, that you would just have your way in everything, dear God. Lord, we pray for those who are still on their way. We pray, dear God, that you would give them traveling mercies, dear Father, and allow them to arrive safely, dear God. We ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who are unable to be here today, dear God. Lord, we know that there are some who are afflicted in body, dear Father. But Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able, Lord, to be with us and with them, dear God. Knowing, dear Father, that you are a God who is everywhere, and Lord, you know everything, and Lord, all power in heaven and earth is given unto you. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless those, dear God, who are afflicted and unable to be here today, dear God. Lord, that you would give them a touch, Lord, and raise them up. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to have your way, and we give you thanks, dear God, and praise, Lord, for Sister Smith being in our midst today, dear God. Lord, you've worked a mighty work in her, dear Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for touching her body, dear God, and pray, Lord, that you would continue to give her the strength that she stands in need of daily, Lord, and build her up, dear God. Lord, when we look around, dear God, and congregation, dear Father, and so many, dear God, that you have touched, dear God, we know that there's nothing too hard for you, dear God. And so, Lord, if there are those, dear God, who think that they have been forsaken, dear God, if they're serving you, dear God, Lord, they've not been forsaken, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help them to take courage and encouragement, dear Father, even from your divine word, dear God, knowing, Lord, that the saints are continuing to pray for them, dear Father. Lord, we ask, Lord, an interest in your blessing, dear God, upon Sister Carolyn, Sister Sandy's sister, dear God. We know she was due, dear God, to be in the hospital. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bless and touch her, dear God. Come to her rescue, dear Father. Lord, remember Sister Sandy in a special way, dear God, and her entire family. Lord, remember Monty in a special way, dear God. We're still praying, dear God, for him, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able, dear God. Lord, we're praying, dear Father, for all of our loved ones, dear God, our family members, Father, who we've been praying for, dear God. Lord, who we've been talking to about their souls, dear Father. Lord, knowing, dear God, that your spirit will not always strive with man. Lord, you said this in your word. And we know, dear God, that there will come a time, dear God, that there will be that the throne of mercy will no longer be open, dear God, because when Jesus comes again, Lord, there will be no more salvation. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to the hearts and minds, dear God, of those who are yet, Lord, without their Savior, dear God, ruling in their lives. And, Lord, that you would help them, dear God, to seek you while you may be found and to call upon you while you're near. Lord, it's so good to see Miss Betty in the service today, dear God. It was good to see her on yesterday, dear God. And so good to see her today, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, your blessings upon her. Remember her children, her grandchildren, dear God, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to be with her, dear God. Give her the strength, dear God. Touch her body, Lord. Give her strength in her limbs, dear God, this we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember our children, dear God, who returned to school, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would keep your hedge of protection around them, dear Father, knowing, dear God, that you're able to bless them. You're able to keep them, dear God. Lord, help them, Lord, not to be anxious, dear God, but to know, dear Father, that the saints are lifting them up in prayer to thee, dear God. And, Lord, you're able, Lord, to protect them and to keep them from harm and from danger. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Brother Javier in a special way. Lord, touch him in his body, dear God. We pray, we're thankful, dear God. He said this morning, Lord, that he was feeling some better. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to give him a touch, dear God, as we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking, dear God, that you would just continue, Lord, to have your way, Lord, in our hearts. Remember our visitor today, dear God. We're thankful for him, dear Father. Pray, Lord, Father, that you would give him, Lord, the desires of his heart. For, Lord, he's come, dear God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would supply his need, dear God, even in coming to the house of God. And Lord, everything that is said and done, dear God, we pray, Lord, that he, Lord, would receive a blessing, Lord, from it, as we ask in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Sister Roxanne, dear God, on the piano today. Pray, dear God, that you would be with her. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her, dear God, and pray, Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to be her guide and her stay. This we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would direct, Lord, in every song and in every prayer, dear God. Lord, in every testimony, Lord, that is given. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember our candidate for baptism. Remember Sister India in a very special way, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would be with her, her household, her children, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would keep her in your care, dear God. And Lord, pray, Lord, that you would keep her from the pitfalls and snares of Satan. We pray, Lord, your anointing on Minister Scott, dear God, today. And Lord, that you would bless him, dear God, that he would preach your word with boldness in the spirit, dear God. Lord, that souls might be blessed. Lord, now we pray, Lord, that you just continue to have your way. Remember Pastor Jenkins in a special way, dear God. We thank you for her, dear Father. Pray, Lord, that you would be with her even as she, Lord, sits with our candidate for baptism, dear God, and gives her instruction, dear God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Jenkins, Lord, and just continue to be with her. We thank you for her life, dear God, for her labor in thee, dear God, and her labor in your word. Continue to be with her, Lord, and direct her path every day. Remember Sister Millicent, dear God, dear Father, as she comes, as she leads the song service, dear God. Pray, Lord, your direction upon her. And Lord, help me, dear God, Lord, to be a help, dear God, wherever, dear Father, you place me, dear God. Lord, help me, dear God, to humbly serve you, dear God. Lord, that you, Lord, would receive, dear God, the praise from it all. Now have your way, dear God, and make us a blessing. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory shall be thine. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Can we turn in our worship to the Lord to page 223? He is Lord. 223.
Shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. It's more profitable for us. It's more beneficial for us if it happens now than at the day of, than if it doesn't happen now and it happens at the day of judgment. Because there are those who are stiff-necked and unmovable and unbelieving who refuse to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, who refuse to bow the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ. But on that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
So for our benefit, it's best for it to be now, for us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and let the Lord raise us up.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise our God. Our responsive reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Amen. Amen. So thankful for God's word.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. Reading responsibly. If you're able to stand at the reading of God's word, we would ask that you stand to give reverence to God's word. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins,
wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience,
among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us,
even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus,
that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
Together. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
By grace we are saved. By the grace of God. We're also told that there's no salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. Because there's none name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only in the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank God for his word. Thank God for all that he has done for us through the suffering of his dear son. Realizing that none of us could die for our own sins to bring salvation to us. The only heart change that we could have was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that great sacrifice, his precious blood being shed, is what bought our salvation. Amen. That's the grace of God. Amen. Not of any work that we could ever possibly have done. We thank God for all that he has done and for his unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. We're going to ask at this time if there are any special requests for prayer, realizing that when we pray in the name of Jesus because there's power in his name. And when we want an answer to our prayers, we pray in the name of Jesus. So we're going to ask if there are special requests for prayer, either by word of mouth or by uplifted hand. Sister Webb. Amen. 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 Yes, Sister Webb. Amen. We'll remember your family and your husband especially. We know God is able to touch if we're suffering in our body. And when I think about even before I was saved, there were times I was sick or suffering. And God in his mercy, it wasn't because I was living for it, but he extended his mercy to me and touched my body. Because at that time I couldn't call upon him because I wasn't saved. He wouldn't hear a sinner's prayer. But there were others who were saved who prayed on my behalf, and in his mercy he touched me. So he's able to do the same for our loved ones. Amen. Amen. Other requests? Yes. Yes, yes. Sister Carol said, remember the McGrail family, much in prayer. That the Lord would bless Miss Marianne McGrail's family. And remember Sister Carol's granddaughter, Nyla, who's tested positive for COVID. She is 10 years old. She went to school for 2 days and tested positive for COVID. So wasn't feeling well. So remember Nyla. Much in prayer, Sister Carol's great-granddaughter. Also remember Sister Carol's grandson as well. Amen. And remember the family members who will be traveling here from Tennessee for next weekend for family reunion. Remember them much in prayer. Sister Holmes, I saw your hand. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Sister Holmes, thank God for allowing her to be here this morning. Amen. Sister Melita? Amen. She said, that request was for Sister Ruth Stewart. For her, remember her much in prayer. Also her son and her grandson, Chris. Remember her Sister Ruth and her family in prayer. Sister Smith.
I want to give thanks to God the Father, Christ Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for healing Dr. Chambers and Hayes, with all praise and honor belong to God. Heal my body, and
praise. Amen. So good to see you, Sister Smith. Thank God how God has blessed you, and that just lets us know God can bring us through surgery and various other things and still. Yeah, and we come out praising God. You said you feel better now than you did when you first got saved because you got experience in that. You got testimonies and experiences and strengthened, and you're strengthened by what the God it strengthens our faith. When we know what God has already done for us, you know, we know if there's something that comes along, God blessed me before, and he can bless me again. Amen. Thank God. So good to see you, Sister Smith. Amen. Yes, yes, Sister Fran. Sister Scott, sorry. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Scott. So remember the bereaved family, the Hubbard family, and also the Brown family. And remember Sister Sherry in a special way as she said she begins her walk now, her journey as a widow now. Remember that, and their children as well. Amen. And the Brown family as well. Now, there are other requests. Remember Minister Scott also as he brings the word. All general requests. Truly we know that we need the Lord. After the hymn of meditation, we'll ask Sister Scott if you would come for and take us to the throne of grace. And if there is anyone who has a need, has a request, feel free to come to an altar. You can stand or you can kneel. But we often sing the song, take time to be holy. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in God's word. And there are times you just need to be alone with God. And so if there's one with a special need, they can come forward and stand.
Shall we turn in our worship the Lord to page 474. 474 in the worship of the Lord. Wherever he leads,
thank you. Do you mean that saint wherever he leads?
Oh, I'll go for I'll follow my Christ who loves me so wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever
altar's open.
I'll go wherever he leads. I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
The altar is open if you'd like to come and we'll just pray together. It's not just Sister Fran praying, but it's all of us praying and interceding our Heavenly Father together. I'm not like some of the others who can remember all the prayer requests, but I just ask the Lord, and I trust that you all will help me as we petition the precious throne of God. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Father, this is another day that you have made and you have given unto us, your children. Father, we are truly grateful and we are truly thankful.
Yes.
To have opened our eyes this morning to see a brand new day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Another day, Lord, that we can say thank you for the rest we received, yes. Reasonable portion of health and strength. Father, to be able to toss our legs over the side of the bed. And sometimes it wasn't very, very easy to toss our legs over the side of the bed. But I thank you, Lord, we're able to do that and then to get up and be able to stand up. Some, Lord Jesus, have to have help. But Lord, we thank you for our bodies and for how, Lord Jesus, you have made these bodies that, Lord God, we can, Lord Jesus, our bodies will heal themselves. Lord God, you gave us what in the inside of these bodies, Lord, to be able to heal.
My God.
And so, Father, this morning we are truly grateful and we are so thankful, Lord, to be standing in your presence. Because, Lord God, not only is the sun shining on the outside, but most importantly, the sun that lives within us. And so this morning, Lord, we're giving you praise and glory and honor to your name. We started out with prayer. We started out with singing and praising your name this morning. Oh, Father, on the instruments, Lord, just singing and allowing you to just bless us. A lot of times I'm in the bathroom singing as I'm in the shower and so forth. Lord, just getting myself prepared, Lord Jesus. This is daily, not just because I'm coming to the house of God, but because, Lord, I give you the praise, dear, holy, precious name. And I thank you, Lord, and I thank you for putting songs in my heart and in my mind and in my thoughts, Lord God, because, Lord, I want to lift you up because of what you've done for me. A lot of times, Lord, this right knee of mine, Lord, when I lift it up, Lord, it doesn't want to do right, and I just have to say, oh, pain in the name of Jesus, and I just pull the leg up anyway. It hurts for a few seconds, but then the pain is gone. You know, you got to do what you got to do and get through it. But, Lord, I'm so blessed today to walk in here in your presence. So good to see the saints of God. And so, Father, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. Oh, Father, we just want to give you praise this morning because of your love, your goodness, and your kindness. Many of us, Lord, have you touched our bodies. Many of us, you have raised, Lord, when we've gotten way down, you've raised us up.
Lord.
And so, Father, we're here this morning. Sister Smith, another testimony because you raised her up, Lord. Oh, Father, I just thank you for that. Because, Lord, my testimony is old. It's not old, but it's old. My brother's testimony is old, but it's not old. We can still, Lord, give you praise and glory and honor for what you've done for us this morning. And there's others in here. And I think about Sister Holmes, my dear Sister Holmes, who's here with us at 95, pressing her way here to the house of God. And so, Father, for those who are not in our midst, perhaps they could be, but Father, we're going to ask that you remember them in a special way, because the scripture does say, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is. So that means we need to come together to encourage one another, to lift one another up when we're at a point in our lives, Lord, where it seems like the enemy just wants to beat us down. But, Lord, this is where we get our strength. We get our strength not only from the word, but we get our strength from our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And so we're so thankful this morning. Now, Father, you know the petitions. You've heard each and every one, Lord. There are some for healing and body, touch and body. And there are some, Lord Jesus, because we know that we have loved ones out there that do not know you. We have loved ones out there, Lord, that used to come to service. And, Lord, for some reason they have allowed the enemy, like Eve in the garden, to cause them to test you, Lord Jesus, to see if you were right, that your eyes would be open. Father, we were there too, so we're not downing them. But, Lord, you brought us in. And we've been in for quite a long time, and we're so thankful. No turning back. No turning back. And so, Father, now we're praying for those who haven't found their way back and those who do not know you because they've never been brought to church or probably perhaps they've never heard the word of God. People's lives are so busy, Lord. They're here and there doing this, that, and the other, playing games out on the ball fields, so forth and so on, Lord, but no care for their soul and where they will spend eternity. So we're praying for them today. Sister Webb, her husband and his body, touch him, Lord Jesus, we pray. I don't know if he's saved or not, but, Lord, you do. And I'm asking, Lord, that you remember her husband in a special way as she prays for him. And she's asked the saints to hold him up in prayer, Lord. I pray that you would help her to continue to walk before him, live the life, because it says the spouse can get saved by the other spouse, Lord Jesus, as long as you live right before them. They see your walk. They see how you are. And they, too, want what they see. So help her to walk faithfully and be all that you would have for her to be. Oh, Sister Carol, Lord Jesus, remember her request for her granddaughter. Oh, Father, I know in the Lebanon area, Lord, 530-some kids are home. 40-some of them contracted the COVID. But because of being in association, it's such a large number that had to be quarantined. So, Father, this virus is nothing to play with. It is a serious thing. And we need to take it seriously like we need to take our salvation seriously. We need to be about your business. And we need to stand firm on solid ground on the rock of ages. Safe from all the storms and rages. Rich, but, Lord Jesus, not from Satan's wages, but we're standing on the solid rock this morning. Father, remember all Sister Carol's requests and those that are traveling. Remember her grandson, likewise, who have cancer. Pray, Father, that you would just remember all those requests,
oh, Father, in a special way. And the praises of from Sister Smith this morning, just giving you the praise and the glory. I know she's been giving it to you before she went in and after she came out and all this time till we see her smiling face again. She's still rejoicing. She still has that glow of thank you, Lord. I'm here. And I can continue to talk to my daughter and get my grandchildren, Lord. Thank you that she's still with us. Pray, Father, that you continue. Remember, Sister Holmes, as I said, thank you that she's here. Whether she's wheeled in or whether she walks in, she's 95 years of age, and she's still a testimony. And, Father, we're just asking that you would help us to draw from wisdom. Help us, Lord Jesus. And Brother Man down there, draw from wisdom. Thank you for him. Thank you for bringing back home safely, Lord Jesus. And we missed him on Wednesday night. Pray, Father, that you remember this congregation in a special way. All the prayer requests for bereaved families everywhere. Remember the bereaved family in a special way. It seems like one after the other. This sister sent me a childhood a school friend. Died from COVID. Her, just buried her mother a week ago and then turned around, she died. So I know, Lord, you are able, but I thank you. Both of them were beautifully saved. I had a chance to talk to her when my mother was sick. She told me she had given her heart and life to the Lord, and that's all she does is just read the word and try to witness. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what she was doing and that she's spending that time now just peaceful, waiting for the others to come and join. Likewise, my brother-in-law, likewise, Brother Chubby, Brother Furman Brown, the junior, I just pray that you remember all the families who are breathing this morning. And when you know the Lord, you don't have to breathe in that way, but we can breathe, have that knowing that they are in the presence of comfort, of you, knowing, waiting for the time when we all will gather together to meet you, Lord, in the air. Father, there were other requests, I believe Sister Melita said, Sister Ruth, and that situation, I ask that you remember them in a very special way. To remember each and every one present here today. Father, we've come to lift up the name of Jesus. We did not come to be sad. But we came to praise your name. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And we leave all of these requests at the altar because what's the sense in bringing them if we're going to take them back with us? Amen. We can't do anything. But, Lord, you can do it all. So, Father, we're going to leave them here. Even though, Lord, we may be feeling this, but we have to learn to walk by faith and tell the devil, get behind me because I left it with the Lord. And he'll keep bothering you, but when you fix and settle it, Satan, you can't bother me no more because I've already left it with Jesus. He's got to flee. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the remaining portion of the service. Bless your manservant who has come. He's ready to, Lord, pour out what you have given unto him that he has received so that we can receive it likewise. So would you pour out in him this morning for us to receive our blessing likewise. Thank you for, as I said, sister on the piano. Thank you for singing her. Bless her, Lord, in a special way. What a welcome sight to see. And thank you for Sister Millicent here, Sister Patricia Blake, and the pastor, Sister Renee Jenkins. Have your blessed way in this service, and we'll never cease to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Praise our God. Thank God for the spirit of prayer. Amen. Even as Sister Scott was praying and just thinking about the power of God and the goodness of God, and she was praying about Sister Smith and how God has touched, and she began to pray about how God has touched her, touched her brother, Brother Byron. She said, the healing, she said, is old, but it's not old. But God has not undone the healing. So he's still, the praise is still right on time.
Amen.
God has not gone back and undone it. So we give him praise, and we'll praise him and praise him as long as we have breath. We'll praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for prayer. Amen. And we know in our Sunday school lesson, the memory verse for today for the review was Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And we know that earlier we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. You haven't had too much of God's word, have you? So we're going to have another responsive reading. Amen. Another response. If we love God's word, then God's word is always right on time. So our responsive reading will be Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Again, we'll ask if you are able to stand, if you would stand at the reading of God's word. God is holy. His word is holy.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 3, 1 through 10. I'm sorry, not Ephesians, I'm sorry. Exodus 3, 1 through 10. My flashback. I saw E and then my mouth just started working. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Responsively. Now Moses kept flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I.
And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perserites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites.
Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Together, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. People, God will always come to the aid of his people. Amen. At this time, before you to lift the morning offering, this is the fifth Sunday, and the special offering for today is for missions, missionaries. And so that offering may be placed in the center plate as we file by, and your tithes and other offerings may be placed in the far left and far right plate. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your many, many blessings, Lord. How you touch us, dear God. How you provide for us, dear God. Lord, we look to you, dear God, because, Lord, we know every good gift and every perfect gift comes from thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that as we obey your word, dear God, how you told us, dear God, to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, Lord, we do it, dear God, cheerfully, dear God, because we know that you love a cheerful giver.
Yes.
We do it, dear God, because we love your word and we love your way and we love your people, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have provided for us. So we bring in our tithes and offerings, Lord. Lord, that your house, dear God, may have wherewith to help whomsoever needs the help. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you receive each offering, bless each gift, and each giver. Use both to your glory and honor. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give wisdom for its use, dear God. For, Lord, we know not, dear God, of ourselves what to do, but, Lord, we look to you and to your spirit, Lord, to direct even, Lord, into the disbursement, Lord, of these tithes and offerings, Lord, that the kingdom of God, dear God, might be built up. So, Lord, have your way, Lord, in us, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of bringing our tithes to thee. Remember those who have to give. Remember those who do not have to give, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're able to pour out a blessing such that they will not even be able to receive it all. Again, have your way, Lord, and bless us as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Him. We had a request for a few months or so now from our dear pastor. The King is coming. So we finally got a hold of sister, my dear sister cousin here. And thank the Lord got her here. But we're going to do two songs this morning. So we just ask you to be with us. The other one is Something Within Me. You have to have something within you in order to meet that King.
Amen.
The King when he comes.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our best. Pray for us. Let the Lord have his way.
It doesn't have a button.
It's on. It's nothing here for that. It is on.
She can hear you in the back. Oh, but it's not both.
It's not working out here.
Yeah.
Into the clear. Something within me. lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended. Those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, and with hands that overflow, who were crippled, broken, rooted, let it go. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The glory of the trumpet fill the ends of sin and wrong. Rigorous are now a glory. Heaven's cry.
Thank you.
Our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank God. Thank God. So thankful to be here and to know that the Lord heard that praise from hearts made strong and free. And that's the praise that God receives. Praise our God. We're so thankful. Thank God. Thank God for touching our dear sisters, anointing them to bless us.
Yeah.
Amen. The Spirit of God moving us. Thank God for his goodness. And to have the assurance that the King is coming. Is he coming for you? Is he coming for you? Because he's coming anyway.
Yeah.
He is coming. But is he coming for you? You don't want to be one of those. Brother Byron was giving the message yesterday at the food pantry. There are certain scriptures in the Word of God that we don't want fulfilled on us. We don't want the one that where he said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." We don't want that one fulfilled on us.
Right, right.
We want to hear the one, "Blessed come ye blessed of my Father. Receive kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Because the King is coming. Praise our God. Thank God for his goodness and for his Spirit already manifested in our midst.
Yes, yes.
I want to recognize our visitor. And we'll give you an opportunity if you would like to express yourself at the close of service, but we do want to introduce you. We have Mr. Tim Richeson, and it's so good to have you here this morning. So glad to see you, and just know that you are always welcome in the house of God. Amen. This time before Minister Scott comes before us with the Word of God, and we're persuaded that the Spirit of God has already prepared our hearts to receive the word. So we'll ask to stand. We want to offer prayer. We want to lift up our brother to the Lord, that the Lord would bless him and anoint him from on high to preach the word. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for what our hearts have already felt. We thank you, dear God, for allowing us, Lord, to worship you, dear God, in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just bless us, Lord, on this side of the service for the preaching of your divine word. We ask, Lord, your anointing on Minister Scott, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give him power from on high, dear God, to proclaim your word with power, dear God. Lord, that our hearts, dear God, may receive the word that we know is good for our souls. Lord, we pray, dear God, if there are any, dear Father, who are unsaved, Lord, we pray, dear God, that your word, dear God, would take root in hearts, dear Father. Lord, that their heart has been prepared, and Lord, that their heart would be good ground, Lord, to receive the seed of your word, that they may be saved thereby. Lord, we ask, dear God, that you would strengthen Minister Scott. Bless him, dear God. Give him, dear Father, everything that he stands in need of, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, dear God. Envelop him, dear Father, in your spirit, dear God, that he may preach the word of God with power. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, not forgetting us, dear God, us listeners. Anoint our hearts and our ears, dear Father, to receive the word, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to take it in and take all of it, dear God. Lord, that we may receive that, Lord, which you have prepared for us this day. This we ask in the name of your dear son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Minister Alan Scott from Church of God in Xenia, Ohio.
Amen. Amen. He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you are not, you can be. Praise God. If you are not, we trust before you leave this place, you are ready to receive your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, how those songs blessed me this morning. Thank you. Thank you. As sister says, truly it's evident the Spirit of the Lord was in those songs ministering to each and every one of us. I have to tell you, many of you know, I was brought up in the church like many of you. If the door was open, you was in here. You might have been playing basketball and ready to take that winning shot. But when mom said it's church time, you put the ball down, you listen to all the moaning and groaning, come on, man, you can't leave now and all that stuff. But when the church doors was open, you was here. I was here in the seat, but I wasn't listening to anything being said. That is, I was hearing, but I wasn't about to do any of it. But one, I didn't understand. I was but a child. And even as I grew up in height and start thinking a little bit about myself, if you know what I mean, and I kind of went my way. Not kind of. I did go my way. I was hearing what I should be doing, but then I was seeing some other things that attracted me more so than what I was hearing, but not understanding. And so I found myself out there. I would listen to the saints sing, but I couldn't relate to their songs. I saw them jumping up and down. I heard them saying, praise the Lord. They were shouting, tears were flowing, and I could not understand, why are they crying now? Well, and who are they talking to? Why are they running around the pews? I didn't know what was going on. But I did know one thing. When the music started playing where I was at, things started happening. You couldn't help yourself because everybody around you start what they call a dance. And you doing all this crazy stuff. And next thing you know, here come a slow song and everything changes and you can relate to the words, and you're getting into all of that. And one day, the Lord got a hold of me.
Amen.
And I knew it was God. I've been brought up every day in the church. And it seems like all I could think about was what I should be doing and what I wasn't doing. And, you know, some things become what we say taxing. It starts wearing you down, starts breaking you down. And I started realizing nothing in my life was going like I had hoped they would. You know, we all have plans. You know, when you start growing as a young man or young woman, you start thinking about some things and you start having dreams and plans and things. But things didn't seem to be working out. And as I began to give attention to the Word of God, then I began to understand things will not work out unless you're in the perfect will of God. But that's a decision each one of us have to make. But I have learned, once you make that surrender, give your life to the Lord, things start changing slowly, but they start changing. And they change in a way where you, if nobody else, recognize it. And the reason why you recognize it is because God himself is manifesting his ability to bring about change in our lives. If we do it his way. I meant I had a problem with his way. Because his way and my way were about this far apart. And understanding the benefits of his way versus the benefits I was accustomed to, I struggled, and for a long time. I was in my mid-20s when the Lord really brought me to my knees. Sometimes you have to go through some pain and suffering, some heartbreak, some things where you say, oh, my God. And you call on the name of Jesus, even though you really don't know what to expect, what's going to happen, if anything, any change. All you know is what you know.
Amen.
And you know something about God. You know something about the Lord. And that's all you need to know is that name. If you're just willing to call out on that name, God is able to take that name and work miracles in your life.
Amen.
Things that you're sitting there, wow, I didn't expect this. And wow, he has people all around that you're not even aware of their existence. Amen. And they're there in place to help us. We just don't know about it. But when God begins to work in the lives of those who have surrendered, you'll see them working all around. Oh, granted, they may not be this great, huge multitude of people, but they're there. They're there. And it isn't until you decide to make that change that you start recognizing who they are. And that's because God moves upon their individual hearts and minds to do something. And because we as people of God are obedient to the will of God and the word of God, we don't need no understanding of what's going on and why, when, how, and all that. All we know is God said. You talk to a truly born-again Christian, and you ask them, what will it take for you to do thus and so? When they tell you, all I need to know is God said so. That's
Amen.
It. You can stop. I don't need to hear anything else, because what I'm doing because God said so.
Amen.
You're the one that may benefit from it, but all I know is God said do it, and we do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
But that's because of what God has done. And I'm like, man, I need to preach a message here. Okay. Y'all don't know, but I'm preaching already. I keep losing my... Okay. So I began to listen to the songs that the saints of God were singing. And because of my own personal experience, I found myself shouting. I found myself praising God. I had my own testimony. I needed that. I didn't want to be a copycat. But I mean, we all know we'll copy any cat that's got something going on. And I'm saying now I'm looking and I'm hearing and I'm seeing, but now it's out of new eyes because I've surrendered unto the Lord. And now I have my own amen. I have my own praise the Lord. My own glory be to God. Now my desire is to honor him in everything that I say and do. But that's because of a change that's taken place. But rest assured, the devil will never make it easy on you. But the one thing about this change, the one huge major benefit, is now he has no power, no authority over our lives except
Amen.
That which God allows.
Amen.
So you all know the story of Job and all that he went through. You can read time and time again before he went through any of it, he first had to get a word from God. Permission. God would always set boundaries. He would say, you can do this, but you can't not do this. He always
Amen.
Set boundaries.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I received courage and power through that story because Job is one man. But God is no respecter of person.
Amen.
He'll what he does for Job, he'll do for each one of us.
Amen.
So I know now, in spite of what I'm seeing, hearing, or feeling, I know you got boundaries. You have boundaries saying you can only go so far. And depending on that limit that God has set, God has put in place, I know from that, God is going to be glorified first, and I'm
Amen.
Going to be made the better spiritually.
Amen.
I'd be lying if I tell you I enjoyed it, but when I think about why I'm going through this, and don't let me think about what Christ suffered on the cross.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at what I'm about to go through and say, oh, this is a small thing. The pain is real. Yeah, it's real. The hurt. The struggle is very real. But out of it, God is going to be glorified. And out of it, we're going to be drawn closer to him. Our faith is going to increase. Each event that transpires in our life is the event that's going to draw us closer and closer to God. Our faith, stronger and stronger. Kind of like infants that are born, starts on milk, then meat. And then next thing you know, they're crawling and getting into everything. And next thing you know, they're running and you can't catch them. And next thing you know, they're tearing down cabinets and they're just doing everything. You're like, what in the world? You think they're menace sometimes. But at other times, you know, oh, what a joy. What a blessing they are. What time they go home? But we look at the goodness of the Lord. And if we look with the right eye, you'll see that no matter what you're going through, as the scriptures say, if you keep your mind stayed on me, God said, keep your mind stayed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. That means really I can at all times actually have a rest of mind. Think about when's the last time you've had rest in mind. You go to bed and you think you're asleep. But they say, no, you're not sleeping. Your eyes is just closed. I learned there's all kind of levels of sleep, and very seldom do we reach that level where we're actually resting. When we get up, we wonder, wow, I feel about as bad getting up as I did before I went to bed. You weren't really asleep. You were just lying there. You fell off. But you really wasn't asleep, not at the level of rest.
Amen.
And this is where God wants us. God wants to get us to that place where we're resting in him. And when we rest in him, really rest in him, when you go to sleep, oh, when you wake up, you're going to feel like they say it's $1 million. I don't know about the million, but I feel good when you're resting in the Lord. That's when you've given everything. Lord, you don't worry about how this is going to be worked out. I had no clue, but I gave it to the Lord. As this was said, and I didn't take it back.
Amen.
When I didn't see things happening in my time frame, I have learned what the Apostle Paul said. I have learned.
Yeah.
You read about the Apostle Paul,
yeah.
Brother went through a whole lot. To get to that point in his life where he says, I have learned.
Amen.
And we have learned much in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We're becoming new creatures
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. So as creatures in Christ Jesus, we need time to learn. And that's why we're here, not only to learn and become that new creature, but to be used of God. Here's where it gets tough. This morning, God has laid on my heart to share from the subject, starting all over again. Starting all over again. Who likes to get this far only to realize I got to start all over again? Each one of us could probably stand and give a testimony of some time and point in our lives where we come to realize I got to start all over again. Sometimes we're happy about it. Other times, we're mad as a pit bull. I mean, we are upset because we got to start all over again. We feel like our life has been spent, has been wasted. But that's the farthest thing from the truth. That's what the devil wants to believe, that was wasted time. But it wasn't wasted time. Because you think about it, that wasted time brought you to where you are now. Without that, where would you be? You'd still be in the back. But God wants us in the front. And God has what he calls a plan of salvation. Amen. I call it D-Day. Give and deliver. And everybody gets to that point where they say, boy, I'm about tired of this. I'm about tired of going through this over and over and over again. The only problem is we don't know what to do. Our ways are so different than God's way. But this morning we trust in giving ear and understanding that what we're saying, we're talking about through all this, starting all over again. And we're getting to that place where God uses us. Well, watch this. These are very familiar scriptures. I made it here last Sunday. Man, I was blessed last Sunday. I don't know if you were here. You weren't, you better get a CD, cassette, 8-track, and everything else they offer.
Amen.
To hear that message from last
Amen.
Week.
Amen.
I mean, every scripture walks you from a stage of infancy to an adulthood. And you're ready to run for the Lord.
Amen.
Just get the word of God. That's all she shared. That's all she shared was the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Bibles are everywhere now. And they're free.
Amen.
Like salvation, it's free.
Amen.
Paul's writing his letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. He lets it be known clearly that all have sinned. Listen, you can't turn around and look at a soul who's not sinned. Everybody has sinned. This is clear back in Paul's time. The Apostle Paul said all. And there's nobody exempt. You can't turn around and look at a living being that has not sinned. All have sinned. It started all the way back with Adam and Eve, where a choice was made to go a different direction than that received of God. That's where we all start. We all start. We choose intentionally, deliberately, knowingly, willingly, to go a different direction than God has set in place. We see that from the story of Adam and Eve. You go back in Genesis and look at it. But then there's, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53:6. The prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, when I was growing up, I'm a country boy, country town. Our neighbor decided he wanted to raise some sheep. He had pasture where he could do that, so he purchased the sheep and put them out the pasture. And it was interesting to watch them. You had those who were satisfied with the green pasture that they were given, but there was always one or two he decided it wasn't good enough. They wanted something on the outside of the fence. One moment you'll see them nipping right there at the fence, trying to get grass just on the other side of that fence that was sticking through. But in time, they learned how to get outside of that fence. You know what was interesting? You know where they wanted to go? It was a place they got out and went to one time. And after that one visit, even though we were able to catch the sheep and bring them back to the pasture, while in that pasture, they were constantly reminded of that one place that they had visited. Guess what it was? It was a nearby feed mill. Oh, man, for them, it was heaven. It's like us going to heaven looking at streets of gold. We can't wait. But right now, we got to do God's will. These sheep were determined to break out and go astray. This was a flock owned by one who provided everything they needed when they needed it. But there was one or two always seeking to go a different way. That's what he's talking about. Oh, we need like sheep. Like sheep. We chose not to remain in the fold of God. We've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And believe it or not, we all have our own way. We all differ. But the end of that text reads, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? God gave me the opportunity, because I chose to do so, to go a different way. He let me. He allowed me to do that. And like these sheep, they found a place where they were satisfied, so they thought. And so that was the place they wanted to be. So I found God. I was brought up in church, knew the song, knew what it meant to raise your hand, knew when to say praise the Lord. I knew all that, but there was another place I wanted to be. But God brought me home. Like the shepherd of the flock brought the sheep back home. But we always have that ability to choose to leave. But what we need to understand and be reminded of is the price that Christ paid just for us to be a part of the flock, to be a part of that leading, that guiding, that instruction of God that provides everything we need, not only in the present life in which we live, but in that to come. He promises. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some people make me some promises, and they still owe me. And every time I see them, I'm reminded of that small debt. You would like for it to be paid. It would be profitable. Then I'm reminded Christ already paid the price in full. So technically, nobody owes you anything, because what was owed, Christ has already paid. When we remind ourselves during that time when we might get a little salty and, you know, be reminded of some of the choice words that used to be, but you don't use them no more. Because you constantly have to remind yourself the price Christ has paid. And the very person that you're bitter at, Christ died for that person as well as ourselves.
Amen.
That's a tough one. When that person has wronged you in a serious way, I mean, there are people that take lives for some crazy stuff, very little stuff, just because of sin.
That's right.
They've not received Christ yet. They don't know nor care anything about him. And so they're more than willing to do what they feel is justice, what they feel is righteous, and people are left dead as a result. And it's just because of bitterness, anger, swelling up. It's what the Bible calls an evil spirit, a demon. But we as the people of God, we've been there, but God has delivered us from it.
Thank God.
And we praise him for it. That's why I see everybody running around sometimes, just giving praise and honor. Sister had mentioned we we eulogized our brother-in-law on yesterday, and it was interesting. The pastor that did the eulogy grew up with our brother-in-law, whom I've known now for 35 years, but I've only known him as a Christian. That's all. But this pastor knew him from way back. They were run buddies. And to make a point, not to expose, but to make a point, he shared some things of his past, their past. Because what he wanted to do is to remind those that you have not lost. Because when you lose something, you can't find it. You don't know where it's at. But when Jesus saves you, you're not lost because you know exactly where he's at. And that makes the difference. So the brother begins to talk a little bit about his past. And in doing so, there were those in the audience there found themselves identifying. That was his past, but they're saying, that's my present. And he began to preach from that how this individual had been delivered of God, and as a result of God saving this one, not only was he saved, but one of his relatives was saved right off the bat. Only because he knew what my brother-in-law had been doing. He knew because the two of them did it together. And so when he witnessed the change in his life, he says, you know what? I expected to see him coming back around a couple weeks, give or take. But when he never turned back, he said, when he do crazy stuff like come knocking on my door with a banner that says, Jesus loves you, and he was relentless. That was the word he used. And it wasn't long before his partner, who used to do these things over here, was now saved and preaching his eulogy. He's a pastor now. But my brother-in-law was instrumental in getting him to see the need for Christ in his life. The pastor that was preaching said, I didn't never go to church, never thought anything about it, but because of him and his life, his witness, it changed everything. That's where we are. God needs us to live in such a way that we may not know it, but souls are going to be changed. You may see it here now, or it may not be until you get to heaven. So we read in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse 9 says, if we confess ourselves, see the contrast there? If we confess our sins, if we acknowledge our sins before God, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, everybody's sins may be different. There may be some that are light. Makes no difference. Irrelevant. It's sin. And he's saying if we confess our sins on God's part, he's faithful, he's just, forgive us our sins. And here's the part I really like. And cleanse us. So he's going to be the one that's taking the job assignment to cleanse us.
Amen.
We can't do what only God can do. If we could cleanse ourselves, then we wouldn't need Christ. We make the choice to be clean and we wash. There are those who do that daily and there are those who don't. Their choice. But when we confess, God says, I'll be faithful to forgive, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So from time to time, the devil would like to remind me of the things that I did in the past. Remind me of what the world would consider the joy how much you enjoy the things you did in the past. Devil want to remind you. But again, when you keep the word, when you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, remember, it's no sin to be tempted. That's not the sin. The sin is when you yield to temptation. When you do it, now you're in trouble. But the devil's always going to do like the fisherman. I got you a dollar. He got that dollar on the end of that fish hook, got you a dollar, and he puts it out there where he can grab it. And he says, oh, I got you. And he plays with you. And that's what the devil does. He plays with us. He reminds us, hey, remember what you was, you know, kind of wanting? Oh, I got it for you now. Come. And he tries to lure us back. But he first has to get our mind on that direction. But we know the Lord said, keep your mind stayed over here now. Because if you let go and go over here, you might find yourself resolved where, yeah, I can handle this. I'll just go so far. No, don't do it.
Amen.
In my Christian walk, I've been there, done that. It doesn't work out very well for you. There's consequences for our actions. But because of the love of God, because of the grace and mercy of God, oh my goodness, what he has done for us, we don't pay the price that we should pay. You know what the Bible says the wages of sin is? Death. I mean, cut and dry. Just think if you had to go and give an account for your actions before a judge, and all you hear is death. Death. No matter what he heard, death. In actuality, that's real. That's God. God says, look, the penalty for sin, it don't matter if you got one or 100, the penalty is the same. Death. But he said the only way you can escape it is by the shedding of blood. He said that's the only way. And what did he do? He sent his only son. Only son. Because he was the only one worthy. He was the only one that was without sin. The only one. And he sent him. He was willing to give up his son. You know, oh man, I have a son. Give up my son. And I know what this individual or individuals did. And I'm going to give up my son for that. And it will happen. But God so loved. Oh man. We quote that scripture, God so loved. I can't even begin to understand so love, that he was willing to give his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him, his only son, should not perish, will not die, but have everlasting life. Now, we all know this old body here is going to return to the dust in which it's come. But that is nothing. We might live to be 150, but that's a short period of time considering eternity and 150. Eternity, short time. So we all going to lose this shell, but this is not the life we should be concerned about. We should be concerned about eternity. When this life, when God says, okay, you have satisfied the call upon your life, I'm going to call you home. You don't even know when it's going to come. You don't know how it's going to come. But you know, it really doesn't make any difference. Because that's one appointment. You don't have to worry about being late. You don't have to worry about rescheduling. That's one appointment. When it comes, all you're going to see is, it's it. No matter how it happens, we're all going to take that last breath. But what happens then? I don't think there's anybody in here that will say, well, send me to hell. Or as the scriptures would say, Hades. Both the same place. Not cursing, but I'm sharing a residence that the unbeliever will find themselves throughout eternity. Tormented. I'm tormented in this 90-degree weather. I can't handle it. I know I don't want no part of Hades. Of hell.
a place of torment where there's gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be there. And so God is saying, I've got the directions. I mean, read the directions. Plain and clear how to escape it. I can guarantee you salvation, deliverance. I guarantee you'll hear, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. The last thing, brothers, we want to hear is, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. And the bad part about it, we all chose to be workers, slaves to sin.
That's right.
As opposed of workers of righteousness. And all that righteousness benefits us. When we were in sin, everything we did for us. But when it comes to Christ, everything is for the Lord. We're willing to lay down our life for our brother and sister. We should be. When we understand what God has done for us and what he needs us to do for him. Many think to lay down our lives means to kill ourselves. To suffer the cross like Christ. No. No. The word says, present our bodies a living, not dead. God wants to use us alive. And so he takes the word, gives us instruction, tells us from day to day, this is what I need you to do. Follow instructions. I may take something new. They purchase it, and they read assembling required. How many? And they get it, know that it needs to be assembled. They see a booklet of instructions and they say, I don't need this thing. And they look at the picture and they put it together and they say, I don't need no booklet. But they're wondering why there's still a bag of bolts over here.
Right.
They can't understand it until their child gets on the bicycle and there's an accident. And they learn that's where the bolts went. But it cost this child an injury, a wound, a scratch, maybe a broken leg or something. We have to do it God's way. We have
Amen.
To follow
Amen.
All the instructions. And so, as an example, we look at the story of Moses in chapter 3, 1 through 10. You know the story. You know the story. At the very birth of Moses, there were those who sought to kill him. Well, that's today. There are those who seek to kill the unborn for various reasons. Back then, it was a different reason, but still. But think about it. From the day we were born, there was an adversary whose desire was to seek us out, kill, destroy, ruin our lives, see us in Hades. From the very time we were born, in all of that innocency, that was his goal. Just like Moses. But because of the love of a mother, who refused to listen to the king's order, refused to release a child whom she loved, she prepared a basket, put him in it, and sent him, the Bible says, in the Nile. It's interesting to me that when the basket was put into the water, it was tarred, so it wouldn't sink, but when it was put into the water, it was interesting to me the direction it went. What is the chance? What are the chances of putting a basket in this big old Nile and it goes to the very spot where the king's daughter bathed. What's the chance? They see this little basket floating. But look at this. Here's a mother, because of love, did all she could. The mother did all she could. But the degree that went out, they desired to kill her child. The enemy is after all of us.
Amen.
Look at the attack upon our children, though,
yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
That mother did everything she could do. When she placed that basket in the Nile, all she could do was put her trust and hope in the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen. Her child was in this Nile. It could have been. There's all kinds of things that could have happened. But she had her little daughter follow the basket and bring back word where the basket ended. And the very one, the king who was responsible for the decree to kill the child, was about to raise
him.
Isn't God good?
Praise
God. Oh, man. The very one that sought him to kill him is feeding him. Educate me, put money in his pocket. It's amazing how God works. He'll use the very ones that once was a threat to you. Now, can you imagine mom sitting at home? Where did you say he went? He's doing what? Mom is constantly amazed at the grace of God as she hears her child growing and growing. And it isn't long before he is like a great man, second in command when it comes to the king. He said, you know what? I got my own son, but oh, Moses. And he favored Moses, even though he wasn't who he thought he was. But Moses one day decided he was going to take the life of a man, because he looked upon that man as doing something he should not have done. He was beating on another man. And Moses took his life. And word got out. Talking about going from rags to riches. Now it's riches to rags. Moses had to flee for his life. Now he had everything the best the world had to offer. And now he's running for his life. He gets across the desert, starts a new life, meets a wife, has kids, got a job, going to work every day. Not like what he had back in Egypt, but it is what it is. But one day, he sees something that he can't explain. And this is where we'll find ourselves in Christ Jesus, especially right now, pandemic and everything that's going on. Afghanistan, just so many things burdening our hearts. When you have the love of God in you and you hear of things happening, it just grieves your heart. Not only just the loss of loved ones, but you hear over in Afghanistan the things that they're doing to the women and children and to the men. It just grieves your heart. And you think, what can I do? You're not there. There are those who are saying, give me some of your money and I can help them. You don't know who you can trust and who you can't, but there's one thing you do know. I can trust God.
Amen.
I can give my all in prayer, pouring out my heart. If you know anything about prayer as a child of God, you know God answers prayer.
Yeah.
So where you may not be in position to give money, you may not be in the position to go there physically and help. But one of the greatest things you can do for any individual in any situation is pray. That's it. Pray.
Amen.
You have to turn. Look what it says. Moses saw something on the top of a mountain. He was at the bottom. He saw it, and he couldn't explain it. Something on the inside caused him to make a decision. We as born-again Christians, we've been there and done that. We've seen some things happen in our own personal lives that caused us to turn from what we were focused on to what now God has put in place to draw us into his presence. Oh, man. Listen to the testimonies of any individual. They're all different. God knows what it takes to bring us, no matter where we've been, what we've done, he knows all about it. And because he knows all about it, he has a plan put in place to bring us, first to get our undivided attention, and then to bring us from where we are into his presence. I mean, just look at the story. In verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. It was a bush, and it was burning. We've all seen wood burn. But the interesting thing about this bush that got Moses' attention was it was burning, but it didn't burn up. We all know wood can only burn so long and it becomes ashes. Moses is saying, how is it possible that this bush continues to burn like this? And because it didn't turn to ashes, he made up in his mind, okay, I know I'm supposed to be working over here, got family, children, all this. He decided, I got to see, how is this even possible? What he's seeing is a miracle working, but he can't explain it. We know, as Christians, things have happened in our lives that we can't explain it. But when it was all said and done, we're testifying, we're shouting, we're singing, we're saying amen to songs that we're hearing, not just because of the words they're saying, but because of our own personal experience. Amen. That's what we're saying amen about. We're sitting here and we're being reminded of something God did in our lives that relates to the song.
Amen.
And we're saying amen. Praise God. All who have been there and done that. So we find Moses here. He decides, I'm going to go investigate this. And he starts climbing this mountain. I was sharing with my brother-in-law in the last days before he was no longer able to communicate. I shared with him, you're at the bottom of the mountain. And God's trying to bring you to the top. He wants to bring you into his presence. You have to make a conscious decision to turn, to make that turn and allow him to draw you into his presence. Now that mountain, you ain't hardly going to run up that mountain. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to take one step at a time. And you got to make sure every step is sure. When you put your foot down, you got to make sure that what you're standing on, it's not going to break loose. Because once you get so far for it to break loose, you're going to end up at the bottom and you'll no doubt be dead. One step at a time. But make every step sure. And how do you do that? When you're standing on the rock, the solid rock. When every step is being ordered by the Lord. As Christians, our steps are ordered by the Lord. You may not understand that fully. You may not even understand where we're heading, but just take the step. Because God says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We got to believe in the promise of God. We have to stand. Again, get that message on last Sunday. It breaks it down. You have to take a stand. You have to stand on what? The solid rock, the word of God. Remember Jesus was the rock made flesh? Stand on the word of God. Every promise he makes is good. You can stand on it. You can put your weight on it. You can jump on it for sure. Grab it. Take hold of it. You're secure. Climb the mountain. This is what Moses did. And when he got up there, God spoke to him. Out of the burning bush, a voice came out. And that's what I love about once you turn, God's going to speak to you. Once you made up your mind that you're going to take that, you're going to stand on a promise. They say there's hundreds of promises in God's word. 39 books in the old, 27 in the new. Genesis to Revelation. All these promises. You can stand on any one of them. They're good. They're solid. No matter what you're seeing, experiencing, trust God. Stand firm. That's what Moses did. And when he got up there, God met him. He met him there. just because he made a conscious effort to turn. And God spoke to him and told him, take off them sandals. When we're in the presence of God, we just can't come to God in no kind of way.
Yeah.
Not God. Yeah. I mean, we're going over to our homeboy. You can go and just cut grass or whatever. You can go over there. Hey. No, but when you come in the presence of God, you got to come in his presence at least with the very best that you have, whatever it is.
That's right.
Clean yourself up. That's it. You have to do that when you come into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And God spoke to Moses and said, hey, take off your shoes. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. It's my house. I mean, you go into a house. Somebody wants you to come in and track a mud through your house. You know yourself. Don't let the wife just clean. And you're going to come track a mud in, even if you're the spouse. It's going to be rough for you. You're going to find out how the cleaning agent works. Yeah. That's how it works. There's always consequences, I told you. But God meets him there, tells him, take off the sandals. Because you're standing on holy ground. We have to understand when we give our lives to the Lord, now it's all about holiness. It's all about righteousness. It's all about walking according to the Spirit, not the flesh. It's not me, myself, and I. Now it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They govern our lives. You can start from Genesis and go to Revelation. You'll see the Father dispensation. You'll see the Son's dispensation. And you'll see now, right now, we're in the Holy Spirit dispensation. I would say he's the boss now. But the three of them is one.
Amen.
They're all one. They're all going to support. They all support one another because they're one. And so here's Moses standing in the presence of God. If you read the story at your own leisure home, you find out God lets him know, I've been hearing some prayer requests. Been pretty bad for my people. And I've been here. I know what they're going through. That lets me know. God knows what's going on over in Afghanistan.
Yes.
I can't sleep sometimes. When I hear what they're doing to them women and the children, boys and girls. They're executing them. I'm thinking, what if that was my home? There are people that come into a home, just shoot you. No reason. They just shoot you just because they can. They take whatever little items they feel is valuable, and they leave. Don't give any thought about them. Go to court, don't see a lick of remorse on their face. It is what it is. But here's a whole nation up in war like this. I can't hardly sleep. It just troubles your heart, but all you can do is, like I say, you can pray. You can pray. That's what you can do. But we look at Moses. He's been drawn by God to a place where God now is going to let him know, this is why I've called you. This is why I put this burning bush experience in your life, so that I can bring you from where you are, what you're doing now, to what assignment I have for you. I have a job assignment for you. But if you read at your leisure, you'll find Moses had like 9 reasons why. But God, I'm not your man. I am not qualified for this. God, you know I got a speech impediment. I can't be trying to speak to nobody. You know, I can't do that. God said, hey, no problem. I got it covered. I'll stand there. No matter what his concern was, and they were all legit. They were all legit, but God had an answer for each one. He took the time to listen. That's someone that cares. You got a job assignment. You go to a new job, and they take you through orientation, and you understand what you got to do. But what if you get out there, and they say, well, where's my tools? Where's my equipment to do the job? You're going to complain because you're going to say, I can't do the job without the proper equipment. But with God, he doesn't just give you the job assignment, but he gives you everything we need Amen. To the job assignment.
Amen.
Believe
That's
me,
right.
There's no way in the world I'd be standing up here.
Amen.
Couldn't do
Lord
it.
Bless.
I can't stand something like that. But God works in a way. He said, whatever I tell you to do, believe me, you can do it. But you do have a choice. You can walk on back down the mountain. Believe me, you don't want to live in the valley. Not live in the valley. There's going to be valley experiences, but you don't want to live there. You grow from those valley experiences, and you move on to that mountaintop experience. But you're always in the presence of God. God recognized, understood why the children of Israel were suffering. There were consequences for their actions. God knows why people are doing what they're doing. And there's consequences. And we know as Christians, we aren't exempt. We're here. We're going to suffer some of those things that people are doing just because sin is running rampant. We're going to suffer because we live here. But God says, I got a job assignment for you. I don't want you to just sit here and lock up everything. But there is that security. Common sense. There's that security. You do what you need to do in order of God's word. In order of God's word. That's what's important. But God has job assignments for all of us until we take that last breath. And it is to serve. He cares. He's going to meet us where we are. And then he's going to provide us with everything. I remember reading Moses. Moses had a concern about who he was going to stand before, and that was Pharaoh. He feared for his life. I mean, we know there's certain conditions. Lord, you don't want to send me over there. I mean, people are killing each other. But here's Moses. He recognized, if I go before Pharaoh, remember why I ran from there? Now you're asking me to go back to the very place I ran from? I ran because I feared for my life. Now you're asking me to go back. But it was different. God told him, Moses, stick your hand in your cloth there. Stick it on your chest there. He stuck it in there and he pulled it out and he had leprosy. He said, I'll put it back in there. Put it back in there. Pull it out. He was clean. Moses did something about leprosy. And he recognized this God has the power to give life or take it. He didn't have to fear Pharaoh. Now we know as believers, it's not man that we need to fear, but God.
That's right.
Because things can change as quickly as putting our hand in and pulling it out. That's about what's happened. But God is in control when we are in his order, when we're where we're supposed to be, when we're doing what he's called us to do. We don't have to worry. We can actually rest. We can rest. Remember when Christ was in a storm with the disciples and the storm was raging? He was the only one resting. And they talking about, don't you care? Sure. But he was resting. Earlier in the message, he shared that place of rest. When you can rest in the midst of the storm, oh, you've reached that level of rest. And Christ, you know, you can only visualize it. You know, Christ wakes up, oh, the fuck? You know, what? Peace, be still. And everything stops like that. And everybody's mouth drops. And they ask, what manner of man is this? I can understand. They feared for their life. They had done everything they could do. And when they saw it was not enough, they decided to turn to Jesus. Yes, it appeared that he was resting, that he wasn't concerned about their life. Let's keep it real. There are times when we find ourselves going through something, we think, Lord, don't you care? I mean, look at me. Look at where I'm at. Look at what's happening to me. Don't you care? We think he's sleeping on the job. But he's not. He's waiting for us to turn to him. No matter where we find ourselves, just turn to him. You might appear like he doesn't have a clue what's going on in your life. Turn to him. He's just waiting for you to turn to him in that situation at that time. And he's able to speak, he's able to quiet any situation in our life. Does that mean everything's going to just disappear? Depends on his purpose and will. But as servants, the scripture says, if any man will come after him, we got to deny what? Ourselves. We have to take up our cross. I'm not asking you to die and go out here and commit suicide, do something crazy. No. I'm just asking you to be obedient. Taking up your cross is simply saying, be obedient. He said, take up the cross. Deny yourself. Follow me. All I'm asking you to do is follow the example I live. Remember, I was a human being also. I was amongst men who sought to kill me the whole time I was on earth, from infant to death. And they put me on the cross. But remember, he told them, you didn't take my life. I gave it. You didn't take my life. I gave it. Remember the boundaries that God set. Jesus knew that he came to suffer the cross. He knew from the beginning, when he volunteered to be obedient to God's will, he came down knowing the whole time he was here on earth that at the end he was going to have to take the cross. I don't want to know how I'm going to die. I'll accept I'm going to die. But he knew, and he suffered it for you and I. He suffered it all. And if Mel Gibson gave a good example of some of the suffering he went through in that movie. I can't remember the name of it. Passion. When I think I'm going through something rough, I'll flip on that portion there to remind me of the suffering Christ. And that's just Hollywood. But it's pretty close to what man can do to another man in the Spirit of God. But just knowing that he submitted to it was his desire. There's a song in closing. This man, he goes by the name is I-Z. And was actually instrumental in the subject, title, Starting All Over Again. He sings a song titled Is World, I-Z's World. And he's from another country, and he sings this song. And in this song, he talks about after giving your life to the Lord, he says, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. He says, it's going to be rough. But he says, we're going to make it in Christ Jesus. He says, we lost what we had. He recognized that as a sinner, your relationship with God, we as human beings have lost something. Something has died. Yes, we're alive. We're walking. We're talking. Yes, we're alive. But when God gave instructions to Adam and Eve, he told them, if you eat this, you will surely die without question. When they ate it, they looked and said, well, I feel full of strength. They didn't understand that death was not a physical one, but it was one in relationship with God. They lost that relationship with God. But God knew that they were going to make a decision such, and he prepared that plan of salvation. The singer says, it's going to be tough to ease the hurts and the fears. I don't know about you, but when you first get saved, there's some things you've done, and you know there's going to be some consequences. Kurt Franklin, some of you might know him as a writer and singer, did a song and a video where, at the very beginning, where His friend thought he was going to bring to him what he needed. He says, you got me? Kurt Franklin says, there's been a change. Man says, you got me or not? Now he's getting angry. Kurt called him by name and says, there's been a change. I've decided to change my life. And the man put his finger on and says, this life you can't walk away from. Kurt Franklin said, there's been a change. And walked away. And in the video, it shows him walking away and going straight to church and falling on his knees. It suggests, as unbelievers, who God, like Moses, has brought into his presence, and you've made this choice to no longer serve God but be obedient unto the Lord. And while you've made that choice, that decision before God, there's the world that knows you, that has spent time with you. Y'all, we done things that only they know about. And Kurt is bringing out, but things have changed now. Now, he put himself in the position that many would never put themselves in. Because we know there's some things you do in sin you just can't walk away from. You can't walk away from, not without consequences. But when you give your life to the Lord, when that's the change, that's the decision you have made, things are different now. That's the time now. You don't go for what you used to go for. Now you settle it on your knees. Now you cry out unto the Lord. Now you remind him, Lord, you said, you said. Keep my mind stayed on him. And then what comes to my mind, Lord, is you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, if you don't keep your word, Kurt recognized I'm a dead man. Because as the video went on, it showed the boys doing a drive-by. But they just pointed at him. They let him know. They reminded him, you just can't walk away. Because that's your decision, Kurt, not ours. See, you're walking away, but you know something about us. And we got to make sure you don't tell nobody. Or else we have to pay. It's a powerful message. Some may not like the contemporary music and such, and I get it. But the message in it, the answer is always turning to God, as we see with Moses. It's always trusting God to lead you right where you need to be, the time you need to be there, and answering every difficult situation on your knees. I know we used to use them these, but but God is saying, okay, now it's time to walk my way. And my way starts on your knees. On your knees. You have to trust me. And the first thing God does in the life of a believer is to show them that I have the power, that I am sovereign, that there is no greater authority. I hold supreme authority. And the first thing a believer needs to know is that, God, you got my back. You're able. I mean, I know what they can do. I've seen it. As a matter of fact, in sin, I was a part of it. But now, Lord, I'm trusting you. You said you would do this and this and this, and I'm believing in you. And the first thing God will do in a new believer is to establish their faith in him. An infant depends on dad, depends on mom. If mom and dad doesn't provide, then what happens? The infant starves. That infant is helpless. When we give our lives to the Lord, we are helpless when we turn our back on the world. What do we have to protect us? But God. But God. Our faith in God. But if we've never seen him work, how do we know he's able? So we have to find ourselves in difficult situations that God allows. He puts boundaries, but he does so just to show us, I'm able. I've got you. Trust me. You might have a trust issue, but God will show himself worthy of our trust. Just trust me. Just the one time. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just taste it.
Amen.
That's what you do on new products. You just taste it. You walk in the market, I say, here, 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 taste it. He said, man, this is good. And you go buy the product. God has said, just taste and see that I'm good. I'm good for what I promised to do in your life. Just taste. But many allow the fears. As the songwriter said, the fears and the hurts. They're so deep that we find ourselves struggling. God is saying, if you just taste, I understand your pain. I understand your hurt. Remember, I walk on the same earth. I suffer the same thing. I can go before my Father and say, I know what they're feeling. I can remember being in the same situation. And he's saying, they're crying out now. They're trusting me. And God is saying, all authority has been given unto you. And what's Jesus do with it? The will of God. He's got us. And these situations that seem really, really bad and ugly, and some of them we've seen gone in a direction we would not want to go. But when we present our bodies, a living sacrifice. What we do when we do that is we say to God, here am I, send me. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. When I say don't say it, don't pray. Don't pray, God. Have thine own way. Sounds good. But don't say it if you don't mean it. Because I promise you, things are going to start happening. And you may not like the beginning. But I promise you, you will love the end. You will love the end. You'll be able to sing the songs. You'll be praising and glorifying God at the end. But you got to trust him. But to trust him, you got to let him do his thing in your life. You have to give him, present to him your body as a living sacrifice. Let him use your eyes. But look at things you're supposed to be looking at. You can't expect change if you're looking at something you don't have no business with. Don't be listening to the things that you know is going to take you in the opposite direction that God is telling you to go. You can't do that. You can't serve two masters. You got to have one or the other. You know, you can't allow your feet to take you in places that you know you used to hang out, that used to have a hold on you. You can't go there and think, I got this. No, you don't got this. God will let you have this if you choose to do so. But allow your feet to take you where you know you're going to be instructed in the things of God. Go to visit the saints of friends, those who are like-minded. When you talk to them, they're not going to be talking about things that's going to get you in trouble.
That's right.
Now, granted, they might bring up who won the Ohio State game. But you can't keep your mind stayed on the Lord.
Amen.
There's no sin in that, in thinking about a football game. But it is if you're supposed to be thinking about God.
Amen.
You can't be sitting in here at a time of meditation on the things of God in your mind of a football game.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might have a problem there. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Starting all over again.
Praise.
God's going to take us from the bottom what we call the valley, to the mountaintop. All he's doing is bringing you into his presence so that he can clean you up when he tells you to take off those shoes. He's letting you know you're standing on holy ground. Now he's going to let you know I've been hearing some prayer requests. And you know all about them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. But he's God. And he's going to stand and listen to all of our excuses. I mean, they are. You're talking about God, so they're excuses. But he loves us enough to say, okay, what is it you're feeling? I mean, he already knows, but he's going to give us opportunity to vent. God, you know I can't do that. Remember when I did this? You remember how it ended up? God says, yeah, I know. But before you leave his presence, before you say amen to your prayer, God is going to show you something in your spirit. It's just going to come out of nowhere. And you're going to like, like a thought comes to mind, and you ask yourself, where did that come from? God is able to speak through the Spirit. God is able to speak to us. He will speak instruction to us that will bring clarity to everything. And this morning, he's just letting us know that when you're standing on holy ground, when you're walking and allowing God to order every step, you can be sure that it's solid. You're not going to slip and fall. I got you. And when you go into that very place where there's fear, hurt, and pain, brokenness, we've all been there and done that, even Christ himself, that's what we have to remember. What is it that God did to convince me to go there in the first place? Because if God tells you to do something, he's going to give you what we call a confirmation. You know when you make reservations, you say, I get a confirmation number. And you write it down, and when you get there and they start talking crazy, say, hey, here's my number right here. Oh, nothing, everything changes. That's how it is with God. He gives us, don't think, the devil will give all kinds of thoughts to you, all kinds of reasoning, and by the time he gets done, you'll think it's a good thing. But God, when you stand on the word of God, even though you don't understand, he'll give you a confirmation. And when you go to stand before that very thing that you fear, that pain and hurt, when you go before that presence, just pull out that confirmation. Be reminded. Remind yourself. Encourage yourself. What did God say? What did God say? How is it that I even came to this place? What convinced me? What overcome me to make me do this? Pull out that confirmation. Be reminded of what God said. If God is not giving you a confirmation, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't do it. If God is not confirmed in your spirit, this is the way I would have you go. Don't go there. Stay in the presence of the Lord. He'll keep you blessed. No matter what you find yourself doing, as that songwriter shared, it's going to be slow, but we're going to make it. It'll be an uphill climb, but we're going to make it. No fussing about what's right and what's wrong. We're going to make it. Because like everyone else, we have to face it. We have to face it. It's not going to be easy. We have to take up our cross and follow him. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Stay in the word. There's a lot going out in the world right now. Keep your mind stayed on the word of God. Stayed on the word of God. You want to think about how you're going to do thus and so? Go to God. Go to God. Now, if he leads you to go to your neighbor to get some help, you're going there because he told you to go to your neighbor. But stay in his order. Stay in his perfect will. And you'll be blessed just like every soul in this body. So be encouraged, and God bless you. We love you. Keep the faith.
Praise our God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God for his word. Thank God. Thank God for this lets us know as having been, Brother started out by saying that where the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he also told us that the wages of sin is death, but we don't have to stay that way. Starting all over again. And when we make a change and move from serving the devil to serving God, we have to start all over again. Amen. Amen. As Minister Scott was preaching, the scripture came to me. It's in Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now, remember that the title of the message was Starting All Over Again. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's start all over again. We don't continue in that sin, down that sinful path we know is going to lead to death, because the word of God says so. We have to start all over again. Verse 3 in that 6th chapter of Romans says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's no way for us to start all over unless that change has been made. And the word of God says we should walk in newness of life. And that seventh chapter of Romans, verse 6 says, we should serve in newness of the Spirit. So not only are we walking in newness of life, we are serving in newness of the Spirit. That old spirit that we had has to become new. Starting all over again. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not just some things. All things are become new. Starting all over again. You know, in this message, you know, Moses, as Minister Scott said, Moses had one life. It's almost his life is almost divided up into 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. Because he lived to be 120. And the first 40 were spent in Egypt being raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then the next 40, he was there in Midian tending Jethro's sheep. And they started that family, as Minister Scott said. And then the Lord called him at that burning bush and told him to lead his people. And then we know that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So we got 40, 40, and 40. But God was with him all the way. And even when he went from being raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter to when God called him, starting all over again. But he was willing to follow the leading of the Lord. And if we're going to walk in newness of life, we've got to follow the leading of the Lord. If the Lord has made us brand new, we don't seek to go back and grasp for those old things, because all things are become new. Amen. So those old things are crucified. Those old things are mortified. Those old things, we don't look back longingly at those old things, because we're starting all over again. Praise God. Thank God for the message today. And I like it where the title of the message, Minister Scott, it didn't say starting over again. It said starting all over again, not leaving anything out. Thank God. Thank God. And even if we've been regenerated and the Lord has saved us,
we have to make sure that we don't even look back longing for those that old life. But to be new in Christ Jesus is to truly be blessed, to be rescued from chains of sin. That the scripture in Romans said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we continue any longer in sin? No, we won't continue in sin. We'll start all over again. And then continue on in the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for the message today and the messenger. What shall we say? Number 433 in the evening light.
Why carelessly wait?
Shall we stand? 433 in the evening light hymnal. And since there is no hope at last, there's no hope outside of the Lord. The day of God's grace then passed with mercy door closed and fast. And that will be the case. Don't wait. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And it went on to say, when there at the judgment throne, your sins will be all made known. There are things that people have done that they're ashamed now for it to be known. They just hope nobody will ever find out. And so they keep it low. They don't let it. They could be ashamed for those things to be known. But at the day of judgment, those sins will be all made known. And there will be no hiding. And the worst thing that can happen is not embarrassment at that point. Embarrassment is the least of it. Because then will be damnation to an eternal hell and punishment and torment. If you don't know the Lord, don't wait. And says, Why carelessly wait when salvation is right at hand, when salvation, even as Minister Scott said, is free. There is no fee. There's no money that has to be paid because Jesus, as he said, paid it all. He already paid the price. Why carelessly wait? Says then Satan will claim his own. Because if you're not living for the Lord, if you're not the Lord's, then you are Satan's. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you, I beg of you, just come and ask the Lord to forgive you of sin. He will do it. Amen. And he will do it. And you'll be so very happy that you did. For the rest of your life and throughout all of eternity, you'll know that was the right thing for you. It's right because it's the right thing for everyone, for every soul. Don't carelessly wait. We're told that God's spirit will not always strive with man. And if he stops, if his spirit stops pleading with you, then you're lost forever. Because we cannot come to God, we cannot come to Jesus except the Father draws. And if the Father is no longer drawing, then there is no way, there's no access to God. Don't reject him. Don't reject him. Shall we sing? If there's one that will come, someone will meet you at the altar, pray with you, help you to get through, pray, get your prayer through to God. He's waiting to hear. At the judgment bar, knowing that there was an opportunity. Perhaps you will even be asked, why did you wait? Yeah. Because God's mercy is the mercy door will have been closed. Amen. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So glad that the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he kept talking to me. And he kept talking to me. Even times when I remember being a young person in the same congregation, and the word would have gone forth, and then the would be altar calls, and the song would be sung, and I knew the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart, and times where I almost physically was holding on to the bench, because that's how strong it was that you know you need to go. You know you need to be saved. You know what the consequence is. You know that if you die, and life is not promised to you tomorrow, you know that if you die, you're bound for hell. And I knew that. I'd learned that from Sunday school on up, and it was preached. And so I knew it, and I knew I was without excuse. And there will be no excuse in the last day. Amen. How many understood the message? Amen. 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 Lord knows our heart. He knows whether we understood or not. He knows whether we whether our hearts are open or not. That does not stop him. Even though our speaker has stopped speaking, the song has stopped being sung, but the Spirit of God will continue to speak to your heart. And you can leave these walls, and you can go about your business, go to your job, and go to the grocery store and go to various places. Go to your home. The Spirit of God will still bring that word back to you. And whatever what the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you. Because there's no way to get away from God. Amen. And if you lack understanding, you can ask God. I didn't quite understand everything. The Lord is able to open your understanding. That the very and maybe will draw you back here on another Lord's day to hear more word, that you may get more understanding. The Lord will work with you and your understanding, and will draw you. And he draws you with cords of love. And notice when I say draw you, I didn't say drag you. God will not drag you. He will not force you, but he will draw you because he loves you. I'm so glad that he loved me enough to when I was young and younger and foolish. If I'd known then what I know now, I would have come running the first message that I heard about repentance and being saved. But God had mercy on me, and he didn't have to. I could have had a car accident. Anything could have happened. I could have gone into eternity lost. I thank God for his mercy, but he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and some he will and some he won't. Don't carelessly wait. Amen. So we thank God for this message. We're going to have prayer now. Is there anyone who would like to be remembered in prayer? Special prayer? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word today. We thank you, dear God, Father, for how it was brought to us, dear God. Lord, about starting all over again, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, if we're going to serve you, dear Father. Lord, there are things, dear God, that we have to let go, Lord, from that old life. Lord, we know, dear Father, that there are things that we have to embrace in our new life for thee, dear God. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that was preached to us, dear Father. We pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to walk in it, dear Father. And, Lord, help us, Lord, to be obedient to it, dear Father. Help us, dear God, to fulfill all righteousness, even as you have called for us to do, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember each upraised hand, dear Father. Lord, you know what each stand in need of, dear God. And we pray, dear Father, that you would supply our needs, dear God. Supply our soul needs, dear Father. Lord, help us, Lord, to be stronger, dear God, in thee. Help us, Lord, to be stronger in your word. Help me, Lord, to draw nigh unto you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you promised to draw nigh unto us, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would bless, Lord, remember, Lord, any that heard your word, Lord, whether or on the over the phone, dear God, or over the internet, dear Father, or in this building, dear God, any who don't know you in the free pardon of their sins. Oh, dear God, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would, Lord, spare, Lord, extend your mercy a little while longer, dear God. Lord, that they may have an opportunity, Lord, to be saved while there is yet time. For we know, Lord, that these are the last days, Lord. We see the events that are happening in our world, and so we know, Lord, that the time of Jesus' return is approaching. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help them, dear God, Lord, to humble themselves before you, dear God, and come crying, what must I do to be saved? Lord, you said, Lord, those that come to you, you would in no wise cast out. And so, Lord, we're praying, dear God, for lost souls today, dear God. And, Lord, that you would just continue to preach to them, dear God. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give them no pleasure in sin, dear God. Lord, don't give them any peace, dear God, in what they're doing, dear Father. But we know, dear God, that true peace and true joy can only be found in thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you bless, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for Minister Scott. We thank you, Lord, for blessing him, dear God, to preach, Lord, your good word. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless him, be with him, strengthen him in thee, dear God. And, Lord, your name, which is worthy, shall receive all the praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We pray, dear God, that you would bless, Lord, even as preparation has been made for baptism of our dear sister, dear God, Sister India. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, dear Father, in this ordinance service, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that this is you have ordained this, and we know that Jesus was first baptized, dear God. And so it behooves us, dear God, to follow our Savior, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, Lord, even, dear God, in the baptism of our dear sister. We pray, Lord, you would bless her, dear God, in the name of Jesus, dear God, knowing, dear Father, that she has chosen to follow you, dear God. Have your way, dear God, knowing, dear Father, that, Lord, first, dear God, we're required, Lord, to be saved of our sin, dear Father. Lord, before, Lord, we follow you in baptism, knowing that this is a symbol, dear Father, Lord, that we will walk in newness of life, that the old man is buried, dear God. And, Father, we're going to walk in newness of life. And so we thank you, dear God, Lord, for what you have done in our dear sister's life. And, Lord, what we're praying, Lord, you will continue to do, Lord, in teaching her, Lord, how to live for thee. Lord, now have your way, dear God, in us. And truly, Lord, we'll bless your name forevermore. As we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Thank God. Thank God for this word. Amen. Amen. So everyone has a bulletin, so we'll just let you just read the announcements that are there, because we don't want to intervene with the Spirit of God to have us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise everyone in here who's been bad, who's been saved and baptized, who can remember their own baptism. Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Amen. So glad. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. And I thought the words that song has that the choir was sometimes saying, I'm so glad. Once my soul was lost in sin, evil ruled my heart within. But the Savior came one day, washed my every sin away. I'm so glad. He saved my soul from every sin, cleansed my heart. Now all is well, and he gave me peace within. I will tell, will gladly tell, wherever I may go. Amen. And watch. Amen. Evil ruled my heart within, but the Savior came one day, washed my every sin away. He saved my soul from everything. Filled my heart with all is well, and he gave me peace within the day. I will tell, will gladly tell, wherever I may go, that this precious cleansing blood can wash as white as snow. Amen. That's what the blood of Jesus can do for you. Praise our God. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Every time someone says it, and they get baptized, it just takes me back. Oh, thank God. And we can rejoice together. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, my mind just goes to when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and they both went down into the water, and then and they came back up, and God showed his approval on the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as a dove came and lighted on him, and God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I thank God. I like to think that when I came up out of the water and was baptized, that God was pleased with me. Don't you like that? Don't like to think that? Praise God. Thank the Lord. And we know that when we obey him, he is pleased with us. We thank God for all that he has done. Thank him. Our hearts have been made glad this day. Amen. From the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We'll have just a few announcements, and then we will be dismissed, knowing that we'll be going into the ordinance services. We're going into feet washing, which was also ordained of God, and the Lord's Supper, which was instituted by the Lord Jesus. This is not the Passover. No, this is the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted a commemoration of his body and his blood. And we will have those services. We'll go into those ordinance services at the close of this service, when we dismiss from this service. But just recall that. Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study will be at 7 p.m. by phone. Happy birthday blessings to Sister Violet Swellen on 2nd of September. Remember to lift her up in prayer. Lord willing, September 20th through the 24th, we'll launch our fall Bible study. We'll be here at the church. The event will be held here at the church from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And our theme will continue to be drawing closer to God. We respectfully request that attendees read chapters 4 and 5 from the book entitled What the Bible Teaches prior to the event, beginning of Bible study. Please bring your book and folder from our spring Bible study of 2021. Amen. And always pray one for another during the week. We know that that's what God would have us to do according to 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That just lets us know that we, if we fail to fulfill all, to obey all of God's word, then we're sinning against the Lord. So we want to pray one for another. Our thought for today, Christians live around the world, but gather at the foot of the cross. Amen. Praise our God. I'm just thinking, Sister Smith, I'm so glad that she is here. And how, what God did for her, what God did for Brother Byron. And, you know, sometimes the people in the world, they you talk about cancer, and they call it the big C. A lot of times. They call it the big C. But, you know, cross begins with a C. And Christ begins with a C. And we've got cross and Christ, and we don't have to worry about any of the other C's. We know that the Lord is in control. And so we thank God. Thank God. Our visitor, Mr. All right. Well, we will pray that he'll return. But we did recognize him at the beginning. His name was Mr. Tim Richeson, and he lives on Wayne Avenue. And so just pray for him. The Lord will bring him back. Amen. Amen. We thank God that he did bring Mr. Brian Cunningham back. We're so glad to see you again. Very glad to see you, and glad that you're here. Amen, amen. And if you would like to express yourself, you may. Amen. All right. Amen. That we thank God. Amen. That we're glad you're here. And we'll look for you again. Amen. We won't stand on ceremony. Just glad to see you. Amen. Glad to see Miss Betty also. Glad we've been praying for you, and thank God that he gave you the strength to be here today, and praying for you, praying for your granddaughters, praying for your children. We thank God. If you would like to express yourself, you'd like to have something to say. Amen. Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank the Lord. Amen. And again, we're so thankful for Sister Roxanne. Would you like to express yourself in a non-musical way?
Glory be to God for being here. That's all of you.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Brother Byron. It is, yes. Yes. But Wednesday is 1st of September. We know on the first Wednesday thank you, Brother Byron, we bring a scripture. So have your scripture ready to share. Amen. Amen. All right. Minds are clear. We'll be dismissed in the name of the Lord to go into the next. We'll have prayer. We'll have prayer. There may be some who are leaving, and we don't want to neglect praying. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your services this day. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would be with us, dear Father. Lord, that you would direct us, dear Father, in all of our endeavors, dear God. Lord, knowing, dear Father, that, Lord, we live to glorify thee, dear God. Lord, we as, even as Ecclesiastes says, let us hear
says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So, Lord, we want to do our duty to you, dear Father. We want to fear you, dear God, and keep your commandments, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give us grace and for the strength to do, Lord, your will. Father, we pray, Lord, for those who are leaving, dear Father, Lord, that you would direct, Lord, and give safe travels, dear Father, Lord. And we pray, dear God, that you would be present, Lord, in our ordinance services, dear Father, which are to follow. Have your way in us, dear God, even as we commemorate the death and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, he rose again. And because of his resurrection, Lord, we can be resurrected from a miserable life of sin. Lord, we just thank you over and over again, dear God, for what you have done. We pray, dear God, that you would be with us. Bless us, dear Father. And truly, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In the name of your dear son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yes, yes.